Welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat, episode 13 of 2025 with myself, James Gordon, and Mike Parsons. Mike's going to have to do a lot of the talking this week because sadly I was sent to Magic Weekend by the BBC, and so I missed Widnes's win over Hunslet. Obviously, I was following the game as closely as possible, and Widnes got into an 18-0 lead and after about 20 minutes, and I thought, oh, maybe they'd turn the corner, but then, of course, Hunslet fought back, and though Widnes got the win in the end, it was perhaps a little closer than maybe they would have liked. Mike, what was your assessment of the game?
Got off to the best possible start, didn't they? Off the kickoff, I don't know if you caught on the highlights, James, but Ryan Ince collects the ball and goes bursting through and goes 60 metres up the pitch, and you're thinking, right, we're cooking on gas, and we was for 20, 25 minutes, 18-0, and we bombed two chances, I believe, for it to be at least 28, 30 points, and we was throwing some good shapes at Hunslet, and they really couldn't handle us in that first 20, 25-minute period, and it was good signs. It was a team playing with confidence, playing to the edges. I can't believe we didn't score. I think it was to make it 24-0 down the left-hand side. It was a fantastic move, sliced them open. And all what Hudson had to do was find Ryan Ince, and he's walking over and he dummied and he went for glory and got hauled down. So that was a try bombed. But overall, the attack was fantastic in that first 20, 25 minutes. And, you know, it was no surprise, no secret. It was all kind of orchestrated through Matty Fozzard. But just before half-time, they grab a try, and it just shook us a little bit, rocked us a bit. And Matty Fozzard then went off and Jordan Johnson come on. And listen, it was that 20, 25-minute spell where we did drop off a bit, and Hunslet started getting some joy through Lee Gaskell's kicking game. And for me, if you're looking for a running standoff who can kick the ball, Lachlan Hennigan again had another cracking game with limited field position as well. And them two really caused us problems. And if they was playing in a better championship side together, a side that had a bigger forward pack and spent more time in opponents' halves, I think they cause a lot of sides some issues. But I thought, as for JJ's return, I thought defensively was brilliant. And it wasn't him on the pitch that slowed us down and made us clunky, but it just disrupted the rhythm a bit. And the halfback started making a few poor decisions, and we was forcing passes, and it let Hunslet back in. But then Massey come back on, and we seemed to just click back into action and kind of cruised home for victory. It was one of them games, I'd say, James, where in the end you didn't look too convincing, but at the same time, we was probably never in danger of losing the game either, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's Widnes are in a little bit of a funny position in the league table at the moment. So Widnes is seventh in the league, so basically bang mid-table, because of course there's 13 teams. But there's a little bit of a gap opening up. Widnes are 3 points ahead of eighth place. You could almost see the league splitting in two, depending on how results go. And this, the upcoming game against Featherstone for Widnes is a big game, because Featherstone are one of those teams in the bottom six at the moment that you would think that they've got designs on being higher in the table. Now, if Widnes were to win this week, they would open up possibly, well, they would at least maintain the 3 point gap between the top half and the bottom half, could extend it further. And so I suppose from Widnes's point of view, they don't want to lose ground to the teams in the top six. Widnes very much want to be part of that top six equation. And so at the moment, I think, like you were saying, you know, what you're saying about playing, it's about getting the results, isn't it? It almost doesn't matter how you play. It's more about how, you know, it's more about getting the points on the board.
It is, mate. And one of the pleasing things was, in fairness, was our confidence with the ball again when we was attacking the opponent's line. And to win this weekend, you've got to post points against Featherstone because they'll trouble you and they're desperate. I listened to a preview earlier today of Paul Cook previewing the game, and he said it's as simple as this. Witnesses form of late is similar to us. Two desperate teams. We need to show we're more desperate than Widnes. And I think that message kind of sums up the game for both sides, really, because I think a victory for Widnes, you cling on to that pack that's pulling away, and a defeat maybe pulls you into the chasing pack slash pack that is falling away a little bit.
Yeah, and the thing for Widnes as well is that the next two games after this week are away against Bradford and against London. So potentially, if you weren't to win this weekend, you're potentially going to lose a lot of ground over the teams above you. Widnes' home form hasn't been great this season. Only scored 10 points, albeit in a win against Sheffield. Only scored 10 points in a draw against Oldham. Suffered the bad home loss, really, against Barrow. There's not been many home matches, so I'm sure Alan Coleman will be desperate to put that right. On the subject of home matches, and I've done a bit on this. I was going to write it in an article, but I hadn't. I haven't got round to it. A few people have been asking me about why can't they have home and away throughout the season. And so I had a little bit of a look. Widnes are in this run at the moment where they're playing. They've basically had one home game in five. Is that up to this week, I think? They've got one home game in five games, basically, because of the cup matches and the breaks, etc. Then they have a run of three consecutive home games. And it just makes the calendar very disjointed. Of course, the cup fixtures at the start of the season make it a little bit disjointed. So I had a look at breaking down the fixtures. If you look at if you look purely at league fixtures, Widnes only have, they started with away, home, away, but then it was two away games, then two home games, then two away games, then a home game, then two away games, then three home games, then an away game, then two home games. There's lots of reasons for it, ground availability, etc. But it is frustrating, isn't it, when you know, it's hard to gauge where you're at, because actually when you're comparing your scores to other teams, you don't know, some teams might have played a lot of home games and some teams might not have. Do you get the vibe from people that there is that frustration over the inconsistency over the fixtures, Mike?
Yeah, for the more casual fans, I think, you know, routine helps, especially when you've got kids. You know, people who can't go to the away games, you know, they'll plan to do things as families for when they're on, and then when the rugby's on at home, they organise to go. So for me, I hear it quite a lot. And in terms of a club perspective as well, take the Barrow game, for example. If you have a bad performance and, you know, serve up something that isn't particularly appetising for supporters, and you then play away from home the following 2-3 weeks, if there's a bye in there as well, and then you're back at home, ultimately, you know, that three-week period, people who may have gone that game that were disappointed have lost interest. Whereas when there's just 1 week missing, if you go on the road and win again, then it's a lot more appetizing and exciting to potentially come back again. I think the longer the distance between home games, the harder it is to keep the more casual supporter engaged, really.
Yeah, I think, the current run that Widnes are on, effectively, you had, you know, we said at the start of the season, because of the way the cup draws went, in the first 10 weeks of the season, Widnes only had two home games. Now, of course, they had four away cup matches in that run of 10, plus a bye week. If they hadn't have got Warrington at home in the cup, you know, only having one home game in 10 would have been and obviously from a financial point of view, and we did talk about that. But even the run that they're currently on, so they've played back-to-back away games, against York and Hunslet, then at home to Featherstone this week, then it's a week off, isn't it? In fact, was it? Is it three? Yeah, sorry, I've got. Then it's a week off because it's the cup. Then you're away against Bradford, away against London. Then it's another week off. I think it's the cup final, isn't it, that week? So Widnes are going 5 weekends there without a home game. Then they play 3 at home in a row. Then it's 1 away game. Then it's a week off for the bye week. And then it's 2 at home. So then they basically play 5 of 6 games at home over a 7-week period. And you're just like, how can the club market it to people? And, you know, we talked about the Warrington game, didn't we, where people who came to the Warrington game, if they wanted to then come to another match, they had to wait another month.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't be like that, because that's even a cup game. A cup game, if anything, should be an extra home game, not, you know, yeah. You shouldn't have to be waiting for a home game. You shouldn't have to be waiting a month after a cup game for a home game. I just feel, and I don't know what the answer is, but I just feel that someone somewhere has got to stand up for it a bit more and be like, hang on, we've got to look after ourselves a little bit better here and make sure, you know, factor in when there's going to be gaps for the cup games. Make sure you've got a home game on one side or another. Because it's just, I'm a big believer in routine and the regularity of all. And I think it is a massive issue.
Certainly at second division level, especially when there's no, like, say, television and things like that. I think adults that have been going a while can kind of half understand and get their heads around it. Not because it's ideal, but because they understand the way rugby league tends to be governed and all the other problems that crop up. So it's just another issue, really. Where I think you really lose out, it's the kids' side and the children that, you know, at 5, 6, 7, 8 year old, you want to engage them in a sport. And obviously the town of Widnes is renowned for rugby. You take them once and then they're not then going for 3, 4, 5 weeks. In that 3, 4, 5 weeks, they're probably taking up different sports, different activities. And that's where for me, the biggest loss is. Certainly for kids, repetition is massive. Certainly when you're playing sport and you're enjoying it, you want to go and watch it as well. And like I say, there's not that adult understanding. It's all about the excitement of what you see. And if you enjoy it, you want to go again. Whereas in 5 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time for a kid, that's a very long time. And like I say, in the process, you're probably losing them to other sports. And let's have it right, the way football is now booming, you know, with the Manchester clubs and the Liverpool clubs, it's a difficult task in itself to keep them engaged anyway. You throw on top of that St. Helens, Wigan and Warrington surrounding us. You know, you're fighting with one hand behind your back anyway to entice the kids you've got coming to the game. So if you throw the fixture list into the mix as well, it is a real tough sell. And I think something that the RFL need to prioritise for the championship especially.
Yeah, I did. I will publish this as an article at some point. I did do a little bit of work, because I was trying to think. There's obviously some teams in the division in the championship that share with football teams. So Doncaster, Halifax, London, Oldham, York all share with football teams. And traditionally, work gets done at the ground in the summer. You know, they reseed the grass, etc. I had a quick look. Oldham basically go from May 25th to July the 6th without a home game, which incorporates 3 away games, a bye weekend, and a weekend off due to the cup final. That is, you know, by and large, down to reseeding the pitch. Halifax go from May the 11th to June 29th without a home game. That incorporates 2 weekends off due to the cup, 3 away games and a bye weekend. Doncaster play 5 successive away games from June 15th to July 20th. London, I don't think, appear to be that affected. I think they move games. They're moving a home game to Rosslyn Park against Sheffield. And York actually don't appear to do any real moving around. But there's no reason why Widnes should necessarily be impacted by other teams. You know, even looking at Widnes's fixtures, you could maybe argue that, you know, Widnes played Halifax, York and Toulouse at home in 3 consecutive weeks. You could maybe argue that maybe if Halifax were playing home games, that would have been at Halifax and the one later in the season would have been at Widnes. But having said that, that Halifax home game for Widnes is the first home game in more than a month. So for me, I just think there needs to be more. I think there's everyone in rugby league just sort of a bit paranoid and just going along with the flow at the moment. It's like someone at some point's got to stand up for it and be like, right, come on. There's a better way that we can do this. We shouldn't be playing. We shouldn't be waiting a month between home games in the season. Because as you've said there, Mike, people find other things to do. And then when you do have three home games in a row, you're then trying to sell, you know, and the ticket prices are ridiculous. You're trying to get people, casual fans, to pay 24 quid, whatever it is, 3 weeks running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's not conducive to growing things, which is obviously why it's suffering. So Featherstone this weekend, let's have a quick run through our predictions before we go into the Q&A that you've got for us, Mike. We both got four last week, which means I still lead 38-37. The ones we got wrong were Oldham beat Doncaster, and then, of course, we never predict a draw, and Batley drew with Barrow. Interesting about the draws, we just had a bit of a chat of this before we did the podcast. It'd be interesting, obviously we don't have Golden Point in Championship. It would be interesting to see how much of a difference it would have made if you did have Golden Point, because, you know, if you're like Oldham, for instance, in the two games that they drew, if they'd won both of those games on Golden Point, they'd be level up at the top with Halifax.
Yeah.
You know, Barrow again, if they'd won on Golden Point, the one they drew, they would be level with Halifax. You know, Widnes could obviously be level on points with York. And Batley, instead of being in the bottom six, they could be more knocking on the door of the top half. I mean, I much prefer a draw, to be perfectly honest. But
I'm glad you said that. I think league format, I am massively in favour for draws, because for me, if that's what you earn, that's what you earn. And I think so many times as well, when you go into Golden Point, if they say brand it as the underdog lifts the game and earns a draw, usually Golden Point leans back to the favourite's advantage, and that's where they, you know, obviously usually take the 2 points. So for me, I'm a massive advocate of a draw.
There was only four draws in the whole of last season, and there's already been three this season. So you would expect that them four is going to be beaten. We've still got, what, 14, 15, 16 rounds probably left.
Might have to start predicting if there's a draw, which game it's going to be.
Yeah, this week's games... Saturday, Oldham against Toulouse.
Gotta go with Toulouse. I think they're starting to hit the straps now. It's fair to say, aren't they? It seems.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. It's interesting. They're playing on Saturday at 5:00. I'm not sure why. Well, I guess it's because of Toulouse's flight. But of course, Catalan are playing Hull KR earlier in the afternoon.
Well, let's have it right. I mean, I know it's a tough gig going over for any side, but to do what they've done to Halifax, the way Halifax have started, was, you know, pretty impressive, to be fair.
Yeah. Batley against Bradford. Bradford seemed to be picking up a bit of form.
Yeah, I can't look past a Bradford victory, really. So me, Bradford, I think the most interesting point is Dane Manning back? Because there was a right set two in that fixture last time, weren't there?
Yeah, there might be some old scores that need settling when they play. Halifax, you mentioned they got a bit of a tonking by Toulouse in France last week. They've got Doncaster at home. You'd expect them to get back on the horse?
I think so at this point. But again, a banana skin game, difficult game for them, you know, coming off the back of that. I think they've just announced... Alfie Johnson, haven't they, signing of him from our dual reg partners, which I know has ruffled a few feathers, but I think a Halifax win. But just on that point, for people who have pulled it out, I think sometimes now it's a bit of a case of people just, every time a Warrington player signs elsewhere, everybody jumps on it. And I think in that isolated incident, for me, I know he did all right in Toulouse, but from what we've seen against Warrington in the Challenge Cup fixture, he wouldn't be really a player of interest for me.
No, I agree on that. And I think, you know, ultimately, Widnes have got three wingers anyway, so, you know, where would he even get in? I think it probably exposes a wider issue. I think he played for London as well, didn't he? I think in a game. So he will when he plays for Halifax, presumably this week, he'll have played for four different clubs already this season, and it's only May.
Must have asked Anna Coro and Lucas Green about their regression from last year.
I have heard that Widnes are getting Ewan Smith from Warrington this week, who I believe is a bat rower. I've heard that on the grapevine. I was at Warrington before.
Does that indicate maybe an injury, James, or do you think it's to compensate for Morgan, the French prop, not coming over because obviously Lemieux won their playoff game, didn't they?
I was just having a poke around. There's a Ewan Smith and a Ewan Irwin, which has confused the issue slightly, but I think it's Ewan Smith that was mentioned to me, and he's a bat rower. He's played at Keighley on dual reds this season. He was he's obviously played for the reserves, for Warrington's reserves this season. But yeah, Morgan McWhirter, is that how we're saying it? He'll have another week in France. So to be honest, I'm not sure bringing him in for Bradford. Then again, I suppose it depends which way you look at it. I guess bringing in a new body for the Bradford game might actually help lift you a little bit. I guess you've got the week off before to maybe bed him in, potentially, depending on if Lemieux win again.
And he's also been an active player, hasn't he? You know, he's been playing, obviously, competitive rugby as well. He's not coming in cold turkey, is he?
No. London, we mentioned London there on Alfie Johnson. London plays Sheffield at home. It's at Rosslyn Park rather than at Wimbledon. If London were going to win, you know, if London were going to win some games, this might be one that you might put an asterisk next to. What do you think?
You took the words out of my mouth, mate. I'm still going to go with Sheffield, but if London are going to start looking north the table, these are games that realistically they're going to have to start picking off.
I'm going to go London. Just
okay, there we go.
That might be where we get level up next week. I'm backing Widnes to beat Featherstone.
Yeah, I am too. I think two sides in recent weeks, a bit low on confidence. I think the fact that at times we look to have that spark back in attack. We've got Jordan Johnson that's going to be another week further on, a bit more fitter. You know, I thought the forwards did a relatively good job last week. I don't think it's going to be pretty as it usually isn't, but I'm going to say that we've got enough in the tank. And what I would say as well is, we're starting to see the fruits now of Jack Owens at centre. He put another lovely, beautiful flick pass to put Mike Butt away in the corner. And they're the type of plays that not many players can do at this level, certainly from centre. So I'm hoping we may see a bit of attacking flair from that side of the pitch as well.
Yeah. I'm not there Sunday because I'm on Challenge Cup semi-final duty, where York's women are playing St. Helens, I believe, which is why York's men aren't kicking off till 4 o'clock against Hunslet. Surely York are going to win that one.
I'd imagine so. I think they've brought in another overseas player this week, haven't they? Looking at the social media channels. Not much to say on that, really. Other than I say it most weeks, Huntsler, I just don't think they have the forward pack to compete in too many games. Certainly when you're playing the likes of York, who are spending the money that what they do.
Yeah, I had a bit of a chat with someone about Huntsler at Magic Weekend, because Noah Booth was playing for Hulkeari, who was on loan at Huntsler and actually Featherstone. I presume, I'm not too sure how it worked. I'd imagine he could maybe play for Featherstone this week. I don't know. But he was very good when Widnes played Hunslet. But I got the vibe from a few people that they weren't they wanted to get him out of Hunslet basically and play him at a better level. So that's what's happened. Right, so that's the six games for the weekend, which means Barrow have got a week off, doesn't it? So Barrow having a really good start to the season, up in second place. Q&A's then, Mike.
Yes. So we got a fair few in. So the first one, straight on the money. Any truth in the Jake Mason rumour?
A few people have asked me about this. I do believe that there is stuff going on in the background. I don't think it's a secret that he was at a game recently. He's been back in the UK for a few weeks. I actually first got a message that he was back a good few weeks ago because he was at a Workington game. I forget against who. So he has been in the country. And I would expect that if an opportunity for him to play again does arise, then it would likely be at Widnes.
Yeah, 100%. And he was at that Good Friday fixture against Oldham. I think what I would say is I don't think he was at that game just for a paper round, if that makes sense. So I'd say the signs are positive. And, let's hope the club and player can, get something over the line, because let's have it right, James. He could be the missing piece if Widnes are to go on a run and, climb up the table. He is a player that has what you call pure X factor on his day.
Yeah, if anyone listening's got a few quid, Lachlan Wormsley was actually at the game with him, and he revealed this week that Wakefield aren't offering him a new deal for next season, so he'll be on the market. He had a decent game against Castleford. He were wearing a rather Dewsbury-looking kit, I thought. Magic Weekend, he had a good game. So he's on the market at the moment as well, and of course, they would have been teammates. Were they teammates at both Whitehaven at Halifax, or neither? I'm just trying to think. He might have not even crossed
Halifax, I think, James.
Yeah, he was Mason at Halifax when Wormsley first went there, and then Mason went up to Whitehaven afterwards.
Yeah, I believe they're very good friends. So I think they played. Mason's first year was at Halifax with Wormsley. I think that was Wormsley's second year. I don't think. Simon Griggs, for whatever reason, overly rated him, because I think he actually appeared for Hunslet that season alone one or two times, and then he made the trip up to Whitehaven, and then the rest history.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's certainly murmurings going around over that. I think it's one of them that there's probably not a timescale on it. There's clearly some issues that need to be unravelled. It'd be a massive boost for Widnes if they can bring Mason in, and then I think Wormsley's a pipe dream, to be perfectly honest, but you never do know. Stranger things have happened.
You got a dream, haven't you? You got a dream. Now, second one, there's actually some decent straight to the point questions, actually. The second one was, do you feel beyond this season Liam Bent's inclusion is justified? Whilst being a tackling machine, he never breaks a tackle. I mean, that's another straight to the point one, isn't it?
I think that's just a known thing about Liam Bent, though, isn't it? I mean, I've done commentaries with Liam Bent at Sports. He's obviously he's a really nice guy. And I think he's probably the sort of person that the club values having in the dressing room. I think as much as, you might say that he doesn't make as many metres as other forwards, but at the same time, if he's making, all the tackles that he does, he's making more tackles than another player. I always like the comparison of, I always like the situation where they had, when Adam Lawton was at Widnes, where effectively Adam Lawton would do Liam Bent's carries or make the impact off his carries, and Liam Bent would do Adam Lawton's tackling. I think probably what the issue is for Widnes at the moment is they've perhaps not got the right sort of forward to run in tandem with Lee and Bent, maybe, where, you know, because Murray and Riley and, you know, they're all sort of all action. They're happy, you know, they do the work at both ends. They're not sort of glamour forwards who are just there to, you know, run. You know, like if you had, I don't know, if you had like, I don't know why Palacina came into my head, but you know, like someone like him who you'd bring off the bench, he only had 10 or 15 minutes in him and he just run hard, probably didn't do a great deal of tackling. I think if you had a forward like him and you'd make sure Liam Bent was with him, I think he'd have more success. I think the thing with Liam Bent is that this time last year, he wasn't really getting a game, was he? He wasn't really in the 17. He wasn't getting a game. And then he sort of gradually got into the team later in the season and then got the new deal to stay. I think he's someone that you'd want to keep around. Whether he, you know, he's not a starting 13 player, but I just think the work that he does in defence is valuable. Yeah, I don't know what you think, Mike.
Where I stand on it is really, if you're going to progress up the league as the seasons go on, Liam Bent, would I want him in my squad? Yes. Do you want him in your starting 17? Maybe not. Look, we've already learnt the lesson, haven't we, of how hard it is to keep a balanced squad. And, you know, look at the Ryan Lannan situation for one. You will never get that from Liam Bent. He is such a good bloke, a model professional.
Yeah.
He excels at an area of the game, which, you know, you look at our forwards and you wouldn't say many of them excel at something, whereas Liam Bent actually does. Granted, he doesn't, you know, make as many meters as the next person, but I think, like you've just kind of touched on, James, that comes down to the balance of the props and the forwards. So hopefully Morgan McWhirter coming in, he can bring a bit of that off the bench. You need somebody to lift it. We've got too many of them players who play at a pace, taking the ball in at the same pace. So there's no lift after when they come off. So I think that's important. But for me, you've got to as well take into context of what Liam Bent's probably earning as well. And for me, I'd have Liam Bent in my squad in the Championship all day long. However, you've got to climb up the league, you've got to better yourself, and you've got to try and bring better players in than what you've already got. And I think for me, he has to be in that squad for me.
I think it comes down to the debate that we've had a few times this season is the size of the squad. You know, people have got this, I think, unrealistic expectation that Widnes should have 27, 28 players. I just don't think it's realistic. I think, you know, certainly from a financial point of view, it's probably not realistic, but also from a keeping players happy point of view. He went out a bit last year, didn't he? I think Liam Bent played a couple of games elsewhere. I think Liam Bent's probably that sort of player that if he's happy to be a squad player, that's one thing. But he's one of them where if you're saying he's going to be player number 21, 22, say, if he's going to be 21, 22, cab off the rank, why wouldn't he just go and play somewhere else where he'd play every week? And I think that's the challenge with players like that is you can't sit on a player because you might use him once or twice. You need, you know, because he could quite easily go and play for North Wales Crusaders or go and play for Rochdale or, you know, do you know what I mean? And that's the challenge.
Yeah, possibly. And I do get that to a point, but you do need competition for places. And the person that Liam Bent is, say if he got squad jersey number 21, guaranteed because of his work ethic and his attitude, he wouldn't be happy with that and he'd be trying to force his way in. And I think they're the type of players you need in and around your squad, because speaking from a player's point of view, if he likes it here, you know, and wants to be here, and enjoys playing in the Championship and in the environment that he's in, and he gets that squad jersey, I'm sure his attitude, him more than anybody, really, would be of the mindset of, right, I want to get back into this starting 17. You know what I mean?
I think in some ways that's almost what he did last season, because he was certainly in the first half of last season he was out of favour. I'm just looking now. He ended up playing 19 games, but he played two for Rochdale. He played two for Rochdale, one for North Wales Crusaders. I think he'd only started one match for Widnes. He started against Doncaster early doors. He played another handful of games. He barely played really going into June. And then by the end of June, he played for North Wales Crusaders. But then from July onwards, he was basically almost an ever-present for Widnes. He played, 11 or 12 matches. And that was partly from him being on the sidelines, not getting in. Went to North Wales Crusaders, played for them, got back on the bench for Widnes. And then he was starting games towards, I think he started the last 6 or 7. And so he almost did that last season. So he's definitely got that in him. But yeah, I think for me, I think there's bigger problems. There's bigger problems than whether Liam Bench will be in the squad, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with that. Are the club right to think they can be a top championship team on the current budget and our poor recruitment at times?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few probably different questions in that, to be honest. Widnes should be a top championship club. I have no doubt about that. There's no I don't see a reason why Widnes shouldn't be. Top six of the championship should be the minimum expectation. Widnes has got the facilities. It's got the fan base. And I think if Widnes don't have the ambition to be that at the moment, we should be very concerned, because ultimately the club, the way the structure of the game is at the moment, the club's not necessarily going to be any bigger than it is now unless there's drastic change. So if we're not taking advantage of where it is now, you're just going to see it slide, like we saw with, Workington and Oldham, teams like that have slid. Clearly there's issues with, clearly Widnes' budget isn't anywhere near some of the other teams. You can't really help that. York have got an Australian money man behind them. Toulouse obviously spend a lot of money because they generate a lot of money and they have to spend a lot of money to travel. Bradford clearly are trying to put themselves in pole position for Super League. There's going to be a Super League place coming up because Salford are going to get punted. So someone is going to be going into Super League, and Bradford are trying to put themselves in pole position for that. But, beyond them, is there anyone else? That Oldham are obviously spending a lot of money, but, Oldham are signing a lot of players that Widnes have had.
Yeah.
And people are saying, oh, well, Oldham are spending money and recruiting well. And it's like, well, hang on, when Widnes had them players, you were saying that was poor recruitment. So money and recruitment goes hand in hand. Widnes have been a bit, I've said this to Alan myself, to be honest, they've been a bit unfortunate this season in that he wanted to sign Jake Mason. And, that didn't happen for whatever reason. And then Jordan Johnson, your best player from last season, has been injured for the whole season. So you're effectively taking two of maybe, let's say, your best three or four players have been sat on the side or not available or didn't even sign. And I think that's probably what's hurt Widnes the most this season. It's not the fact that they brought in three or four squad fillers that then they got rid of. That's not why Widnes is struggling. That's not, people will say, well, why didn't they spend that money on signing a better player? Well, maybe there wasn't a better player available. The way rugby league contracts are handled now is, unless you're in early, it's very difficult to just, do you know what I mean? It's very difficult if a deal falls through in October, November time, it's very difficult to pluck someone out because everyone's already signed.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, I agree with you to a point, but for me, I still think that money collectively could have been better spent. Even if you keep your gunpowder dry, players always pop up, even when the season's started. I mean, like you say, you go back to the Dan Murray example of last year, and obviously sides, when the season's kicked off, make signings themselves.
I don't feel like that's, I mean, I don't know. But it doesn't strike me that that's what... It doesn't strike me that we've gone it... You know, it doesn't strike me that Alan Coleman said, we've got a player here we want to sign. and it's been a case of you can't sign him because you've already spent the money. I don't feel like that's what's happened.
No, but when that scenario has happened, but yet then you're down to basically like 17 players and your dual reg partner won't give you players and we've agreed to go with them as well. Somewhere in that mix, there's been mistakes made. Obviously, everything's good with hindsight, but we had the warning signs with the dual registration partnership last year as well, and we've decided to go with it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I was going to be critical on one thing, I would probably say keeping the warning thing was probably a mistake. I think, like you say, the warning signs were there this time last year. We were led to believe there was a few clubs interested in, you know, obviously there was a little bit more of a feel-good factor about Widnes last season. And maybe Widnes, had they partnered with Lee or, you know, or Wigan or, you know, an alternative to Warrington, then maybe they would have been better off. But
I think look, my perspective on it, I think mistakes have been made in recruitment and the dual reg side of things. I don't think we've made life as easy as what we possibly could have, but then you can flip that on its head, and when McWhirter comes in and then any other recruitment between now and the end of the season, that might flip on its head and we bring in a couple of good players and, you know, we romp to the playoffs. That's what could happen. But I'm in agreement with you. I know we're not, you know, the biggest spenders in the league, and, you know, we're not a top four spender in the league either. But for me, the size of the club, where you want to be, you know, you've got to aspire for them playoffs, and the aim's got to be to perform on the pitch. And if you perform on the pitch, you've got a better chance of, you know, attracting more investors into the club, and you just keep building. I think as well, you know, taking money out of it, you know, there's a lot of inflated contracts at other clubs as well. I think players in the Championship at other clubs, yes, they're spending more money on the wage bill, but I think some of them players are earning far more than what they're actually worth, especially the players, some, for example, and I don't want to like start going at clubs specifically willy-nilly because it'll sound bitter, but when you look at the South Sea Islanders, say at Doncaster, who are falling out of Super League, you know, you question at times, you know, that they're intense week in, week out, and what they'll be actually earning in comparison to some of our senior lads who have been around the Championship, you know, for the majority of the career, are probably doing a better job, but probably on less money, and I'd rather have the ones we've got. So I think there's an element of that as well.
I think bottom line is, if Widnes aren't aiming to be a top Championship club, what's the point? You know, what is the point of even existing? I'm hearing a rumour that the Championship and League One might merge, so there might only be one division next season. That's something that's being proposed. So I don't know whether it would be how many years are now? 24? It'd be 24 team league, maybe. I'm hearing there might be a conference style set up, so you would play, they'd maybe split it into West and East, so you'd have less trips to Yorkshire, but you'd be playing Rochdale, North Wales, Crusaders, teams like that. It becomes a lot easier now, Cornwall, aren't it?
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've heard a murmur about that, which will be interesting, but the point still stands is, no matter how many teams are in the Championship, if Widnes aren't aiming to be a top semi-pro club with the basis and foundation that they have, you know, what's even the point?
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to miss the next one out because we've kind of just covered it there. It's about what we think about the dual reg agreement with Warrington. I think we just touched upon it there. Who has been the biggest positives and who have been the biggest negatives this season? So I think that's what players are we impressed with and who have we been less so?
Fozzard, for me, has been very good. I think, you know, it was a toss-up between him and Jordan Johnston for player of the year last year, to be honest. But I think I know he was a bit miffed to lose the number nine shirt, and I think his performances have shown, you know, probably why that's the case, because ultimately, I think Widnes are a better team when he's on the pitch. So yeah, I think Fozard for me has been head and shoulders.
I think what epitomises that was the pattern of the game on Sunday just gone. There was even Huntslet's fans saying, by God, he's a pedestrian without Matty Fozard on the pitch. And look, it was an isolated game. That's just how it fell. And it was nothing against Jordan Johnson at all because he was belting out some hits and it was his first game back. But when opposition fans are saying that, it just goes to show how integral he is going forward, especially.
Yeah, and like I say, I think other than him, there's not really anyone that springs straight to mind. Negatives, Max Roberts, to be fair, is one that I think his absence has shown how valuable he is to the team in terms of his versatility. For one, him being in the team enables you to move players around to centre, or he can play at centre, or he can play in the park, or. So having him on the bench is almost like you can run with four forwards, but he's almost like a spare back as well as being a forward. I think Max Roberts is, in his absence, has shown how valuable he is. In terms of negatives, I'm not massive on singling out individual players. I think we've seen that the main negatives have been that, I suppose, partly linked to the squad situation where, we've talked about the back rows, haven't we? I think Rodri Lloyd and Danny Lantry. They're having to play 80 minutes week in, week out, even with Knox. And I think that's probably harming them a little bit in terms of they're maybe not as effective as they have been in last season because they're almost having to roll the sleeves up and do 80 minutes and get through 80 minutes rather than maybe trying to do something a bit different. I think last season when Widnes had Sam Ward, they had three. I know Danny Lantry was injured for a while, but they almost had three first choice back rowers who were sort of in and out of the team. I suppose that would probably be the only negative from my point of view is just not having enough options to freshen up the back row so you get the best out of those players.
Yeah, I'd go with that, certainly from a tactical perspective as well. Like when you
Langtree's been man of the match in some of the matches, in my opinion. So it's not
he had another great game on Sunday, yeah, mate. He was probably our best forward again on Sunday.
It's not a negative on him and his performances. I think it's just more that because the situation has been that they've not had anybody else, them two have had to play 80 minutes every week. And I just think they would probably be better if they could be afforded a rest every now and again, whether it be 20 minutes in a match or whether it even be a week off. And we see that a little bit with the wingers, having three wingers and being able to rotate them has been good for them because it's pushing them. But then it also means that if they're out of form or if they're injured or they've got a knock, they can have a week out.
Yeah, that's it. And I think with the back rowers as well, just to finish on that point, I think it's very similar to Matty Fozard as well. When he's having to play 80 minutes, he naturally has to conserve energy. And I'm sure them two fellas, Rodri and Danny, that they have to do the same in the back row, which obviously limits the eye-catching stuff, doesn't it? I think just to add to that, add to the list of what you've just given, I think what I've seen in recent weeks, despite results, Jack Owens' touches at centre. I think when anything's happened, it's come through that side, kicks in behind, flick passes. I think if he stays there and keeps getting used to that position, I think it massively gives us a different dimension, something that we've not had, especially if you can get the right person at fullback as well. I think one or two players in terms of, look, I don't have a problem with them at all and I'm not going to dig out anybody whatsoever, but two players who I'd like to see a bit more of are Gav Bennion and Liam Kirk. For me, the Man Mountains, and I don't know, like when they come on the pitch, just an extra bit of grunts and break a tackle. Probably more Gav Bennion than Kirky, because I thought last season at times Liam, he was really good and he's had his fair few concussion problems, hasn't he, since being at the club. And he's got a good set of hands on him as well where he does tip on the ball. But I think for Gav Bennion, in terms of him being a new player and shaking up the pack, and McWhirter's going to come into the mix, for me, he's the one where I'd like to turn up, say if he plays on Sunday, to walk away from the stadium and go, wow, you know, that's why we've really brought you in. I can see that now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not going to be this Sunday, is it? But when he does play, you know, you hopefully that is what happens.
Yeah.
Any others?
There was one last one, but I think I will read it out, but I think we've, again, covered it briefly. I certainly have anyway. Should Jack Owens be seen as a fullback or a centre if we was the coach? For me, I think he's found his home, and I won't say any more than that, really.
I'd still play him stand-off, but that's a
different... Well, yeah, just how he changes points.
I'd still play him stand-off. But I think, you know, I think, like I said, we touched on it before, that clearly this season probably hasn't gone as well as... I'm sure as well, it hasn't gone as well as Alan Coleman would have liked. But clearly before the season, he had a plan in place, which was to play Jack Owens at centre, play Mason at fullback, and it's not happened. He's had to move some moving parts. There's been injuries in the, you know, maybe if Joe Edge hadn't been injured early in the season, you might have seen Owens at centre a lot earlier and Fleming at fullback. If yeah. Kai Taylor-Ray hadn't been injured, you know, he played that one game where that was the game, really, the first real game we saw that Jack Owens at centre, you know, someone else at fullback in place. It's just circumstances and meant it's not happened now. It might keep happening. It might happen again, but I'm with you on the centre thing. I'd expect we'll see a lot of tries like that where Jack Owens can run the ball to the line and get it out the back door to a winger. Because he'll be better than the players that he's coming up against in the centres, and or a better rugby player, I should say. And that's
do you know as well. I missed it out before talking about the Huntslet game. We made a break down the right hand side, and Joe Edge was out of position, and straight away he was two plays ahead. And instead of staying in his centre position, he's bombing it across the pitch to fill in the fullback spot. And again, that's just rugby league IQ, isn't it? Being ahead of the game, and he's going to be able to offer that. You know, if you make a breakdown one side and it's his side, you know, yeah. and you get tackled, you can reload and go again the other way, even if the fullback's out of position.
Yeah, and I think sometimes players, there are certain players that certain fans like to make scapegoats, and you know, I think in the cold light of day. Let's say if Jack Owens wasn't at Widnes and he was playing somewhere else, people would be suggesting that Widnes signed Jack Owens.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
The way supporters' bases work, yeah. You're probably right.
That's how it would be, you know. And I think sometimes people are quick to scapegoat certain players, and I think... There's not a massive queue of people wanting to play for Widnes, unfortunately. There's not a massive queue of people wanting to play full stop.
my only issue with Jack Owens, and the only issue I have ever had, because I think his positives far outweigh his negatives, is under the high ball, he can be suspect. And, you know, quite often it's cost us, but I think... Within saying that, he does it once. There seems to be a hell of a lot more negativity throughout him than, say, if Ryan Ince or Mike Butt dropped the ball.
Well, I remember last season when everyone was calling for Lord Roby to play fullback.
Well,
and
exactly.
He played a game and he dropped the ball three or four times. And then, but no, you know, if Jack Owens had done that once in a previous game, it was like, oh, he needs to get out of the team and bring Lloyd Roby. And that's, you know. It's, like you say, it's one of those things, isn't it, that goes on. But
yeah,
it looks like he's going to be at centre anyway. So Widnes against Featherstone on Sunday. I hope you enjoy it if you go in, Widnes. And then have a week off the following week because it's the 1895 Cup semi-finals. And then it's a trip to Bradford on the postage stamp pitch at Oddsall. Fortunately, I'm on holiday, Mike, so I don't have to go there, which is... both good and bad, because actually I do have a soft spot for Oddsall. But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us as always. Please do visit the website widnesrugby.com. All the old podcasts are up on there. You can View the latest articles and subscribe to Widnes Rugby Plus. Do drop your questions in through the Facebook group and via Mike and myself as and when. And we'll see you next week.